It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security. Welcome to the National Security Hour. I'm Ed Hoglund, your host for this evening. Today we're going to talk about a critical topic. Critical topic in that it's the discussion of the Army War College and whether it committed a great Franz. You get the point of that in a moment. Transgression. Did they violate our civil and constitutional rights? I'm going to ask our audience to decide as I lay out the facts and see if you think, as I do, that my and two other colleagues' constitutional and civil rights were violated. There's an ongoing Department of Defense IG investigation, supposedly, to take a look into this overall affair. I'm going to cover those details in a minute here. But is this ongoing investigation purposely being led to and called ongoing to avoid embarrassment to the Department of Defense, to the Army War College? Or, as I suspect, is this part of an ongoing effort within the Department of Defense to advance a woke agenda, not only in the war colleges, but in their military academies and services? Remember, all military people take an oath to defend and uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The key questions I want you to consider tonight include, were my civil rights and constitutional rights violated and those of my two colleagues? Why is it that neither myself or these other colleagues, if this is an ongoing investigation, have been contacted about this since October of 2023? Does the Army War College actually promote academic freedom? Or did they take inappropriate actions against the three former military staff, myself and the two others? Did the Army War College, through their actions, actually reinforce the whole point of the lecture that I'll go into on the cognitive war, this ongoing cognitive war, and the issue of transgenderism being used to silence and subjugate others, not to advance any individual rights, but to silence and subjugate others? Why is it there's such an alarming lack of understanding at our Army War College by the three colonels and others involved of our Constitution and our constitutional rights? Will the Army War College or other military academy students, given the push for DEI, CRT, critical race theory, and other woke agendas, actually be educated on the Constitution or on what an illegal order is, so our military is not used against its citizens exercising their constitutional rights? This is a real question. It's an important question. Will accountability occur? As this is not a political issue, this is an issue, a bipartisan issue, of whether we're following our laws and whether we're trusting in our military. Okay, we have to take a look at these things. So I'm going to cover some background on my lectures to give you a little bit of background, what happened at the lecture, and finally the debacle of what I perceive to be purposeful delay and obstruction by the DOD, IG, and Department of the Army. Just a reminder for you folks, I served as the first Assistant Inspector General for Inspections for the Intelligence Community Inspector General's Office. I was also a whistleblower on an Army sexual harassment case, which was buried by the very same DOD, IG, and Army at U.S. Army INSCOM. And it was finally resolved, but the individual involved was never held accountable. So let's begin, as I ask you to decide. For the last 5 years, I've lectured in June or July at the Army War College in a course called Cognitive Maneuver. At the beginning of each course, I specifically state to those officers involved and some senior civilians that my challenge to them in this lecture is to make them feel uncomfortable. Because if they're not uncomfortable at this wrought time in our history, with all the threats going on, then they're not paying attention. The other aspect I highlight very specifically up front is I don't expect them to agree with me, nor do I want them to necessarily agree with me, but I want them to come to their own conclusions in critical thinking, their own conclusions, and understand from their perspective whether they think what I'm saying is truth or not, and have them decide. Okay. I also talked to these officers and mentioned to them that each of them have taken an oath to the Constitution of the United States of America to defend us against both foreign and domestic enemies. And I speak to them about the fact that each of us, myself including as a former service member, took that oath knowing that we may be asked to give up our life for our country. But I ask them at the same time, if you find an illegal order, or if you find a challenge which you know is not right, are you willing to give up your job for your country? Okay. And each time I've asked that question, there's been deathly silence. As part of the briefing, I go in and I lay out the definition of cognitive war. And I'll quote from my book, The Cognitive War, Why We Are Losing and How We Can Win, in this definition. Cognitive war is primarily an ideological war between tyranny and freedom, control and independence, subjugation and democracy. It is war fought primarily in the cognitive domain using strategies which apply various ways. Now, this is key. The various ways include ideology, religion, or issues, and a variety of means, academic, economic, agricultural, social, military, etc., to influence. In its most basic form, it is a war between good and evil. The cognitive war can and does include irregular warfare and kinetics. It is a war that has been ongoing for more than a millennium. It is timeless as mankind exists. Cognitive war is truly the existential threat in that it is a global and domestic war. In today's United States of America, few understand it, can defend against it, can compete in it, or win it. It can be won, but not if we're unwilling to change. So with that context, the beginning of the briefing, okay, with that context, the beginning of the briefing, I started to talk through some different aspects of ideology, how religion and issues are used. And I used the example of transgenderism being an issue which is being used to cludgeon, to silence, to cancel, and to subjugate people, okay? It was at that point I noticed a couple of people in the audience seemed rather uncomfortable, okay? And I'll come back to that later on. But what I pointed out in the class, during the class and in the breaks and after the class, is that when you take a look at the issue of transgenderism, what actually are the rights that transgenders are fighting for? They have the very same civil and constitutional rights we have. So my point to this audience, it's not about rights. It's about using this issue, appropriating the issue of transgender to silence, cancel, and subjugate others. Okay, and that's exactly what happened to me at the Army War College, I believe. But I'm going to let you decide. So at the lecture in July of 2023, I covered a number of different issues. The transgenderism issue, I also used the issue of science is not following the science and the COVID lies, and Dr. Fauci, who said that if you get the vaccine, you couldn't infect others. Okay, and I was challenged on that. And at the moment of the challenge, I couldn't come up with the exact quote from which time frame or quotes, but I provided that link and other information after the fact, which he actually did say that if you get the vaccination, you can infect others. And there's another question related to the Department of State's Global Engagement Center, which was an independent consultant for a number of years, about being biased and culpable in the censorship efforts that Matt Taibbi, Representative Jim Jordan, Congress, and all investigated and identified, where they were censoring predominantly conservatives and messages and the truth about what was going on about not only COVID, but other areas. Okay. I also provided a paper on transgenderism written by Joanna Williams, the corrosive impact of transgender ideology. I provided this within a couple of days after the class to then buttress my overall lecture. She's from Civitas, which is an institute for the study of civil society, and it is a registered educational charity. Joanna Williams is the director of Freedom, Democracy, and Victimhood Projects at Civitas, and she's previously taught at University of Kent and has a number of different books and other things she's authored. In the article that I provided to them post-class, the summary that she provides is that in less than two decades, transgender has gone from a term representing individuals and little used outside of specialist communities to signifying a powerful political ideology driving significant social change. She also wrote, "We draw a distinction between transgenderism and transgender individuals. The term transgenderism is used to refer to an ideological movement, get that, an ideological movement that challenges sex-based rights and actively promotes the idea that a person's gender has no connection to their anatomy. The political agenda has been embraced by activists and campaign organizations." Now, remember, this is written back, okay, in 2020, I believe, is when she wrote this actual paper. This highlights, she wrote, "a significant difference between today's transgender activists and the gay rights movement of previous era. Whereas the gay rights movement was about demanding more freedom from the state for people to determine their sex lives, the transgender movement demands the opposite. It calls for the recognition and protection from the state in the form of intervention to regulate," get this point, "to regulate the behavior of those outside the identity group," which goes to my point. Reference Dr. Fauci. The reason I bring the transgenderism issue up is because at that point in time, a couple of people in the class got very upset. They also got upset when I mentioned that Dr. Fauci had lied, and they asked for proof. Well, at that moment, I didn't pull out the quite specific proof, but I followed up with it. And he actually said that the chief medical officer of the president said during a discussion at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to drop mask recommendations for fully vaccinated individuals, given that vaccinated people become dead ends for COVID-19. Okay, there's a number of other quotes on that. The other aspect I mentioned, Department of State Global Engagement Center, where I stated I warned about the internal GEC staff that I worked with. I warned them to not get too close to the social media companies or the other non-government organizations involved because they were using very biased, clearly biased criteria to censor. But they took offense to that. Some people in the class had worked there also at the Global Engagement Center. And they thought I was painting the whole GEC as that. And I wasn't. What I was highlighting was that perception based on their closeness and not taking care of a firewall lent itself to then painting the GEC as being purposefully supportive of censorship programs. And in fact, Congressman Jim Jordan, in a bombshell report on censorship on the industrial complex, okay, listed hundreds of secret reports to show how DHS, CISA, the GEC, and Stanford Research and others work to censor Americans. Okay, so this is all fact. This is all fact. So during the class, these people got rather upset. And during the break, I talked to one of the individuals who had done self-identified as a gay and who self-identified as having a transgender friend. And he asked during the class if he was an enemy then of the state, given that he supported transgenderism. I specifically stated, no, you are not. This is a difference here. You're supporting transgender, which all have the same civil and constitutional rights. There's no issue with that. Everybody should live free as they determined. Okay, that's a true American way. What I pointed out to him, though, was that the issue is being appropriated and misused to then silence and cancel people. Okay. After the class, typically months later, the Army reimburses me for my lectures, a small stipend, okay, far from what I actually use for my normal charging base. But when I asked for the information on that, I got an email notification back from the director of second year study, Colonel James Frick, by a second hand from one of my colleagues who invited me to lecture at the class. And he said, based on the student complaints in the session in July, they decided they're not going to not only invite me back, but they're not going to pay the stipend. And in addition to that, they're going to cancel further contracts between the officer and the former command sergeant major who were retired, who were the colleagues who invited me to the class. So they not only canceled me, they canceled the two people for inviting me. Why? Because they invited me. Okay. What was interesting here is that in October of 24, I learned that during the lecture, one of the persons went outside and complained to the Colonel Frick about this, and that he had asked them, these two colleagues of mine, to immediately escort me out of the building for hate speech. Okay. I'm not speaking hate speech, I'm speaking facts. But they were going to also perp walk me out because they thought I was speaking hate speech. Okay. But there was no due process. There was no review of what different people in the audience had thought. Okay. So from my perspective, my civil and constitutional rights were violated. And furthermore, on October 25th, okay, I sent an email to Colonel Frick asking to explain this, I wanted to contact you directly to get a formal response, I said. I found out the different information about being the two colleagues in my contracts being canceled. I found this very concerning. Given the context for academic freedom, freedom of speech, and oaths of constitution, and not understanding the justification for such actions, if true, could you please explain your actions? Okay, deathly silence. I sent another note on October 27th, and I continued on with that. And I asked, I've not received a response. I'd welcome a response. And in that note, I look forward to his explanation again. He got a delivery receipt, but he never responded. When I come back from break, I'm going to continue on with this discussion and give you some more chronology about what actually happened here, because it's critically important to understand that if these officers are not willing to support our civil and constitutional rights and do not understand them, and how can we trust in our military? You can listen to our shows on the National Security Hour. They play 7 days a week at 8 p.m. Eastern now on the American Out Loud Talk Radio Network. They're heard on iHeartRadio. They're heard on world-class media players and awesome applications like Apple, Android, or Alexa. All these links can be found on AmericaOutloud.news and the AmericaOutloud.news. I'll be right back.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Welcome back to the National Security Hour. I'm Ed Hoglund, your host for this evening, and we're talking about the Army War College's transgression. Did they violate my and two other colleagues' civil and constitutional rights? I'll let you decide. So as I was leaving from break, I talked about an October 27th email I wrote back to Colonel James Frick, who is the one who asked my two colleagues to perp walk me out of the building, okay, during the lecture, by the way. They didn't actually do that. They actually talked the colonel into letting me continue with the lecture and the discussions overall. There was one other woman in the class who was rather upset as well. And she was the one, I believe, that mentioned that I had spewed hate speech. But have you heard anything I've said today so far as hate speech? No. And here at an academic institution for senior military officers, when you lay out facts and it's viewed as hate speech, is that based on the fact people are being indoctrinated, or is it based on critical thinking skills? So on October 31st of 2023, I received three things from one of the two colleagues I have. There are two memos restating what had happened and an explanation to his command chain, and a copy of the class survey, noting overall satisfaction in the course and the lecture, less a few outstanding objections, okay? And this is on record for the last 5 years, been outstanding and such. So let me read from this 24 October 23rd memo. Okay. My colleague and I worked very hard for months to develop a program of instruction for the Advanced Studies Seminar, previously titled Cognitive Maneuver, at the Army War College. They asked us to address two main topics for this year: great power competition and information advantage. And I'm quoting from this memo. We selected Mr. Hoglan and a retired SES as guest speaker because we considered him to be the most accomplished subject matter expert on the topic of cognitive maneuver. During September 2023, Mr. Hoglan published a 544-page book, that's the ebook version, Cognitive War. He has successfully engaged cognitive maneuver seminars each year during 2019 to 2022. Our premier pre-seminar sessions with this lieutenant colonel, another lieutenant colonel at the Army War College, included vetting the slides Mr. Hoglan presented. Okay. During this time, this colonel indicated she saw some certain slides, which she seemed to negatively portray actions of certain members of the DoD chain of command. And they asked for them to remove. Okay, I had no problem with that, except for, you know, because it's their course, that's fine. But when is it not okay to criticize DoD leadership? Are they immune from criticism? Okay, and why is that? If in the academic environment, if you're bringing an outside speaker in, a former military officer himself, why is it that our senior leaders are immune from any criticism? Okay. And by the way, the slides that I put forth didn't have direct criticism, but they raised questions about the actions of former chief of staff of the Army, Mark Milley, okay, and Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. I go on to the quote from the member. During Mr. Hoglan's presentation as guest speaker, there were a few of the students who reacted negatively to some of his comments. The results of the student surveys were provided to me by the lieutenant colonel on 30 August. Student comments were mainly positive or very positive. However, he says, quote, one student made accusations about our guest speaker promulgating hate speech and enabling hate speech. And this colleague of mine goes on to quote, I fully reject both accusations, which are shown verbatim in the attached survey results. Okay. On October 23rd, I received the attached email from Colonel James Frick at the Army War College, his colleague writes. He informed me that because the students' reactions to our guest speaker, myself, Ed Hoglan, we would not be invited back to present on the cognitive maneuver election. Seminar or elective next year. Okay, so here you have guilt by association. So they could cancel my future lectures. Okay, great. To me, that shows they have not only no academic freedom, but they violated my rights from my perspective. But here, because these two individuals, one a former command sergeant major of the Army, another retired Army colonel, okay, because they invited me, they then canceled their contracts. Okay, that's just unfathomable to me. In an email, October 23rd, 2023, to this colleague of mine, okay, sent from Colonel James Frick, he writes, after this lieutenant colonel and this other lady at the Army War College came to me referencing the teaching of cognitive maneuver by your team, okay, I went to our department chair, another colonel, Smigalski, for clarification and guidance. Bottom line, the email wrote from Colonel Frick, we are very dissatisfied with the direction the guest speaker took the instruction during the final afternoon of the advanced studies. After the investigation into the matter by interviewing students in the classroom, okay, this is quoting from the email, okay, but they did not say how many or whom they interviewed, okay? There were only one or two dissenting. And you remember the survey I received a copy of showed either great or outstanding feedback. But the email goes on to quote, felt that what happened during the class afternoon did not align with U.S. Army War College values. The email goes on to say, I personally pulled you out of the room and questioned what was happening based on student complaints. Okay, but in the email, he doesn't mention that this is where he directed the colleagues to escort me out of the building. He goes on to say a quote in the email, at which time you explained your desired outcome, so I provided you with some limited leeway to mediate and salvage the event. It is our belief that this was never achieved, and consequently, the students left the class with a very negative view of the course and potentially the Army War College. Well, look at the survey. Now, get this, Colonel Frick writes, we have therefore decided not to bring you or your team back for this elective and advanced study in the future. Again, guilt by association. So they make this decision within the Army War College without ever speaking to myself, without ever speaking to my two colleagues in depth. Okay. And then in addition, they go ahead and say other things about me. Okay. So this is amazing here. In another memorandum written by these colleagues of mine from 30 August 2023. He states, unfortunately, there were two exceptionally negative comments. Okay. Edward Hugland was a biased disaster and enabled to voice open hate speech being enabled by Colonel, my colleague here. Second, the Colonel, my colleague, allowed Ed Hugland to impart flagrant lies to the class, which had nothing to do with cognitive maneuver. Well, when you have cognitive warfare and you use issues like transgenderism or falsely using science like Dr. Fauci did, or when you have the GEC partaking in and supporting, okay, albeitly probably unknowingly, but still partaking and supporting, that's validated in a congressional investigation, the censorship of people, okay, all facts, then you have these people calling these flagrant lies. That's not true. In the memo, my colleague goes on to write, I brought Mr. Hugland in as guest speaker because he was a retired SES official who had thought leader on the topic of cognitive war. I again carefully studied Mr. Hugland's paper on cognitive warfare and sincerely believe it's the most comprehensive description I have read on cognitive warfare is and what the U.S. should be doing about it. Okay. He goes on to talk about me writing this book. He said, this year was Mr. Hugland's fifth appearance as a guest speaker for this seminar, which began in 2019. During those five appearances, his contribution to the seminar was often rated as outstanding, excellent, or superb, and sometimes was the highlight of the seminar. Okay. He goes on to write, we reconvened after they were pulled out of the class for the lecture, reconvened the students, okay, and after Mr. Hugland talked about the concerns. Mr. Hugland engaged with those students sincerely and respectfully, which I did. It was my impression that those students were satisfied with the issues and concerns had been resolved. In one case, for example, Mr. Hugland listened to his students' concerns about a comments he made about the Global Engagement Center, what I said. And I conceded, Mr. Hugland considered the students' concerns and conceded that he might have overstated his comments, okay? Communication is the hardest thing we do. Okay, so in this communication, I wanted to make clear that I was not painting the whole GEC in a certain way, okay, but what they did, okay, broke the firewall, got too close to social media, and therefore, based on congressional and other investigations, were part of and culpable in censoring and canceling people. Also, during that discussion, I go on to quote from the memo, I was pulled out of the room by an Army War College staff member who informed me of the complaints, okay, upon being told that to immediately escort the guest speaker out of the building. Okay. This is interesting, and my colleague goes on to write, it is a concern that the decision to cancel our seminar for the next year seemed to imply that I have been judged to be guilty of accusations above, so based solely on the accuser's accounts without a detailed account from my perspective. Okay, I've talked to both my colleagues since then by email and others. Okay, neither has been contacted. Okay, neither has been contacted about this, which is just reprehensible. So if there's an ongoing investigation, I've not been contacted. They've not been contacted. So what the hell is going on? So let's take a look at the DOJ IG complaint and the blocking and delays. Because what happened after this is very important. Is given this information and given what happened, I sincerely felt my civil rights and constitutional rights were violated and those of my two colleagues. Okay, there's no due process. We have freedom of speech in an academic environment, laying out specific facts with things to back it up. And we're called hate speech promulgators and my two colleagues guilt by association. I mean, how un-American is that? This is in an Army War College, a national college to teach our senior military leaders how to critically think and do their jobs, okay? And to consider different sides of the equation, okay? It's unbelievable. So on November 21st, I contacted the DOJ IG and the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. Later on that week, the Department of Justice replied, what we did is our team members from the Civil Rights Division reviewed the information you submitted, a quote, based on this information, our team determined that the situation you described does not appear to be within the jurisdiction of the federal civil rights laws we enforce. And I say, what can you do? You should be covered by other federal, state, or local laws that we do not have the authority to enforce. Okay. Quote, we are not determining that your report lacks merit. Your state bar association or local legal aid office may be able to help you with your issue, even though the Department of Justice cannot, unquote. On December 15th, the DOJ hotline email came back and said, has reviewed your complaint and determined that additional information is required. Okay. At that point, December 15th or 16th, I talked to a Ms. Cassandra from the DOJ IG to provide additional information on this whole subject and topic. And on January 4th, this is key here, January 4th, 2023, the DOJ IG issued an email stating, Dear Mr. Hoglund, this is to notify you that the DOJ hotline has closed your complaint. Okay, the DOJ hotline is not authorized to release case information or documents. You may file a Freedom of Information Act request with the Department of Army Inspector General for this information. You know, this is key. Remember that date, January 4th, 2023. They closed the complaint. When you close a complaint in the inspection world or the investigation world, there's a final resolution. There's a decision that's been made. Okay. Remember that, because later on, we hear back from the DOJ IG and the Army that there's an ongoing investigation. So when did that happen? Right. January 6th, 2024, I file a Freedom of Information Act. And I send it to the office the DOJ IG instructed me to. On January 11th, the office sends me back an email and says, the FOIA request was wrong. Your FOIA request, quote, has been assigned to the following case number. We apologize. We misdirected you to X office. The correct office to process your request is the Department of Army Inspector General Records Release Office. Oh. Here they come back and they can't even give me the right freaking office to put the FOIA in. So I put the FOIA back in on January 11th. On January 17th, they asked me to validate my ID and stuff, which I had done in the original request. And I asked for a valid point of contact to discuss this in a January 18th email. And I received a response that the agency had originally, that I originally provided the FOIA to, did not pass my ID information along. So here again, I had to resubmit everything. Again, almost a month later. So on January 23rd, okay, 22nd, I resubmitted the FOIA request. On January 3rd, 23rd, I received a response. Dear Mr. Hoglund, this is an interim response to your FOIA, Freedom of Information Act request. received on January 11th, 2024. Okay. The Army IG Records Release Office receives a large volume of FOIA requests and cannot always respond to requests as quickly as we would like. The approximate date of completion of your request is January 11th, 2025. Okay, this is January 11th, 2024. I submitted the FOIA. They said they can't provide the information back until at least a year later. And it says, or quote, it could take longer. So on January 24th, I sent the following note, quote, under the law, all federal agencies are required to respond to FOIA requests within 20 business days unless there are unusual circumstances. I asked them, please explain those circumstances as Pennsylvania law also, where the Army or College is located, also requires agencies to respond to requests within 5 business days after the request. On January 24th, I sent this information to Senators Warner and Kane from Virginia, my two senators from the state I reside in. On January 25th, provided background information and additional information to Senator Kane's office. And I spoke with Senator Kane's office down in Virginia Beach, and let me give the senator and his staff kudos, okay? Even though I have a different ideological perspective than Senator Kane, his staff is very professional, very helpful, and very courteous. On February 1st, I received an additional response from the Pentagon on the FOIA request noting, quote, the Army Inspector General records response to your request, okay, are part of an ongoing investigation and therefore denied pursuant to a number of different exemptions. Okay, so when we come back from break, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what happened here in this chronology here and why was this new investigation supposedly started and we've not been contacted yet. Remember, American Outlaw Talk Radio plays on iHeartRadio Network. You can listen to us on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world, 24/7. And now you can get those same podcasts and here on AmericanOutloud.news, AmericaOutloud.news. I'll be right back.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Welcome back to the Mass Security Hour. I'm Ed Hoglund, your host for this evening. What we're talking about here is today is the topic of the Army War College's transgression. I'm asking you to decide. Okay, as we left for break, I was going through the chronology of events after I lectured at the Army War College, and after I had learned that not only myself, but my two colleagues were not invited back to lecture in the future. That's fine. No problem with that, except for the process of this decision and what it's based on, I believe, violated not only mine, but my colleagues' civil and constitutional rights. Now, the Department of Army War College is a higher education institution. It should be a higher education institution for academic freedom and discussion of key topics and issues. As I went through the history, I laid out the facts of what happened from my perspective that day and from what I've seen in emails and other reporting of what happened during the class and after the class. And through all those facts, there was no hate speech. It was based on legitimate, specific research and understanding. And this is the essence of the ongoing cognitive war. So before I go back into the discussion of the chronology and stuff, it's very important to understand that. This, because the cognitive war, our adversaries and those who wish to subvert our society, subvert our system of laws, subvert our education and other things to indoctrinate and subjugate, use a variety of ways in their strategy, ideology, religion, and issues. And this transgenderism issue, as you've seen, has received tremendous backlash from General Mulvaney, okay, and the Bud Light commercials to a variety of other aspects. You've seen the same thing in terms of the issue being used and weaponized in women's sports, where you're allowing a biological male to compete against females, not only in swimming, but other sports activities. And you've seen women physically harmed and beaten because they have biological males in there. And you've seen how this issue has been used to condemn, subjugate, silence, and censor people who disagree with it by calling them racists or bigots or other aspects. But no one ever mentions the fact again that transgenders, okay, which I believe all people should be treated with due respect, okay, regardless of how they decide to live their lives, as long as it's legal, as long as it's constitutional, okay, and within society's laws. They have the same civil and constitutional rights we do. But you've seen this issue being used to cudgel the American people. And you've seen a backlash across multiple different states and their legislatures where they put in laws now. They put in laws in place to preclude these biological males from going into women's locker rooms, restrooms, and other stuff. Now, if this was a true transgender rights issue, why is it they never bring up the same civil and constitutional rights? They don't. If this was a true issue not to subvert and pervert that transgender, okay, issue into something that is not, why is it that we only hear about males, biological males, wanting to go into women's prisons, women's locker rooms, women's sports, and other stuff? Why is it we're not hearing the opposite about biological females who identify as males doing the same? Okay. From my perspective, it's part of this ongoing cognitive war. And you take a look at Leon Klosky in The Naked Communist, and you take a look at the goals from over 66 years ago that he listed in that book. One of it is to undermine, okay, parents, education system, and the whole sexual orientation aspect. Okay, this is part of a concerted plan and continued plan. But because of this backlash, they have backed off some. So let me continue with my chronology of what happened with the Department of Defense Inspector General's office. Okay, after they said in January 23rd, it would take a year for me to receive a reply. Okay, I understand from FOIA law, they have 20 business days. And I mentioned I mentioned in the reply email I sent to them, in Pennsylvania law, it requires 5 days to respond. Okay. I mentioned I engaged both Senators Warner and Kane from Virginia. Okay. Now, Senator Kane's office, I tell you, from a constituent standpoint, again, I have a different ideological perspective than he does, but very professionally run office and very quick in response. So one has to give proper credit and kudos. Okay. So on February 1st, 2024, I mentioned I received a response from the Pentagon, the FOIA request, noting, quote, the Army Inspector General records responsive to your request are part of an ongoing investigation, therefore denied pursuant to exemption B7A of the FOIA 5 USC 552. Okay. The exemption applies to information compiled for law enforcement purposes. I quote, the disclosure of which could reasonably be expected to interfere with enforcement proceedings, okay, meaning an ongoing investigation. Now, this email lists several, and the PDF they provided lists several other exemptions. On February 1st, 24, I asked to clarify on ongoing investigations, giving, remember, as I said, the DOD IG stated in January 4th, 2024, a month earlier, that the complaint was closed. On January 4th, the DOD IG replied stating, dear Mr. Hoglund, this is to notify you that the DOD hotline complaint was closed. Okay. That's when I received that, was January 4th. Now on February 1st, I'm being told there's an open investigation. So I provided this information on February 2nd to Senator Kane's office, okay, to make sure they had all the different information. On February 2nd, first time I hear from Senator Warner's office in this whole aspect here. It was the very first time. But he regurgitated the Army reply saying, please, you have to understand to expedite this request, et cetera, like this. It goes in order and therefore can take a year. Okay, almost nearly useless. But on February 5th, I received an email from Senator Kane's office noting they're contacting the Pentagon to clarify. Okay, so they took the information I had, put it to process, because this is not a Republican or conservative or liberal or left or Democrat issue. This is an American issue. So Senator Kane's office took the information, sent it to the Pentagon, and asked for a response. Okay, Pentagon, in answer to my email, usually takes 30 days to 60 days, Senator's office indicated me. Okay, so Pentagon responds to my question, case was closed and now it's open. Okay. So they say on a February 8th email that regarding your question, okay, our office cannot answer that as we are not in the IG's action case. Please contact this other office for assistance and division. Well, you know, the go around, circle around continues. On March 1st, I receive a note from Senator Kane's office with the Pentagon response, noting his response says, quote, dear Senator Kane, this letter responds to your inquiry on behalf of your constituent, Mr. Hoglund, regarding the status of his pending request under the Freedom of Information Act. On January 25th, 2024, Department of Army, Inspector General Agency, Records Release Office notified Mr. Hoglund that the records response to his FOIA request are part of a current or ongoing investigation, and therefore denied pursuant to the exemptions I read before. Quote, attached, please find a copy of your office's most recent correspondence with Mr. Hoglund. As of today, February 29th, 2024, the case is still open. So as of February 29th, 2024, in an email on March 1st, the case is still open. Mr. Hoglund, quote, may resubmit his request to the Department of the Army Inspector General Records Release Office at a future date, which may allow time for the investigation to be completed. I trust that this response to your inquiry on behalf of your constituent concerning his request for information pursuant to the FOIA. Now, what is interesting here is, I go through this whole debacle here, and the whole point is here is to help the Army War College, Department of Defense, and others understand is, what the heck are our constitutional civil rights? are our Army officers and others being trained to understand what the Constitution is? Okay. Do they understand in the legal order? I'll come back to this in a second here. But I put the request in. Case is closed. I'm never notified that it's open again until I ask for these FOIA requests. And once I ask for the information and cite the law and contact the senator's office, okay, all of a sudden there's an ongoing investigation, so they can't provide me anything. You know, being part of the Inspector General's community and actually chairing, I was the chair as the IG for inspections. I chaired a committee of all federal executive elements, Department of Justice, okay, Energy, State, Homeland Security, AIGs for inspections, okay, across the board. And if you, as you'll see in my book, The Cognitive War, Why We're Losing, How We Can Win, I call for a complete overhaul of the Whistleblower Protection Act. I also call for a complete overhaul of the Council of Inspector Generals for Integrity and Ethics. Why? Because it's a broken system. It doesn't provide the proper venue for whistleblowers or others to undertake actions. And in many cases, my perspective, DOD, other IGs are not true IGs. They're not truly independent. Their budgets and other things are still controlled by the higher levels through the budgetary process. Okay. And I've seen numerous instances where IGs have been shut down, restricted, and other stuff. Okay. So this is part of my overall career that I dealt with this stuff. So when you take a look at this and all of a sudden you see there's an ongoing investigation, one has to ask the question, so what the heck's going on here? What are they trying to hide? What are they trying to cover up? But that's why I'm putting this on this broadcast here now, and we could talk about this in other situations and areas as much as possible, because we have to highlight these things. So let me go through a few of the questions that we have here. Did the Army War College violate my civil and constitutional rights and those of my two colleagues? I'll let you decide, but I'll give you my answer. From my perspective, yes. Fourth Amendment, there is no due process. There has been no due process. They've not come back yet to either speak to those two individuals or myself. They haven't, to these colleagues, understand and engage any of the former classmates who are part of this force as a whole. Second, why is it that neither myself or my colleagues have been contacted since October of 2023? Now, even in October 2023 in post-course, the only contact I saw back and forth was emails from these two colleagues of mine and myself, because the Army War College and the colonels there wouldn't respond to any emails, okay, to answer and address what happened there. Okay. Does the Army War College actually promote academic freedom, or did they take inappropriate actions against three former military retirees and officers? Well, I think they took inappropriate action. And you had three colonels involved, the chair, the colonel, lieutenant colonel who was supporting the course, and then the dean for that portion of the Army War College. And then you had, no doubt, higher level leadership in the Army War College. So I'd ask for the generals and others involved to take a look into this matter, to investigate this matter themselves, and figure out what the hell went wrong. When you have a free and open discourse in an academic environment, and the lecturers asked to be perp walked out in the middle of the lecture because one student or two students said they stated hate speech. Okay. But everything I stated was pretty much a fact in terms of what's actually happening. And this highlights the whole point of my course and my lecture on cognitive warfare, that issues can be used to subjugate, cancel, censor, and silence. And that's exactly what happened here. Now, that answers the question. Next question here. Did the Army War College, through their actions, actually reinforce the whole point of my lecture on this ongoing cognitive war? As the issue of transgenderism was appropriated, misappropriated, and was used and is being used to silence and subjugate others. not to advance any specific individual rights. Because remember, again, it was never discussed what the civil and constitutional rights were, that transgenders, like everyone else, has the same rights. And as I said before, as a true conservative, as long as you're following the laws, you're within the Constitution, okay, everyone should be able to live as they desire, not be persecuted, not be prosecuted, not be mistreated, okay? But at the same time, you can't take something like this issue and use it to then push on the American people whole ideology and subjugation, okay, that's contrary to our Constitution, but also contrary to the norms of society. I don't care whether you're right or left, Democrat or Republican. No one should have the right to force down someone else's throat their specific ideology or other aspects. That's why we have freedom of speech. That's why we have a constitution. That's why we have due process. Next question. Why is there such an alarming lack of understanding, from my perspective, of the Constitution by the colonels involved at the Army War College? Do they even actually understand it? Do they understand what free speech is? Do they understand what due process is? Okay, that's an important question. Will the Army War College or Military Academy students, given this continued push for diversity, equity, inclusion, critical race theory, and other woke agendas, okay, will they actually be educated on the Constitution? Will they actually understand what an illegal order is so that our own military is not used against the citizens exercising constitutional rights? And this goes to the crux of the matter. Because if they're willing to silence me and cancel me, okay, and violate my civil and constitutional rights and those of my two colleagues, what will they do if they're given an illegal order? The last question, will accountability occur? As this is not a political issue, but this is an issue of following our laws and ensuring the trust in our military. Following our laws and ensuring the trust in our military. So I'll let you decide in the Army War College's transgression. Did they violate our civil and constitutional rights? I'm here on the National Security Hour to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I will go outside the fog of the daily chaos to give you a strategic perspective on national security issues and speak truth to power. The power of we the people, so we together can best ensure the resilience and security of our republic. Thanks for joining us on the mission. The National Security Hour is the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America.